You know, whenever I consider this scene from Acts of the Apostles, I always think of Indiana Jones. I do. I see this. They go out, and they go out of Jerusalem, and they go into an open area, and he just starts to go up, and up, and up, and up, until he's out of sight. And I think about Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, when the tank went down, and down, and down, until it disappeared from sight. And Indiana Jones' father, they're looking over the side of the cliff, just staring in disbelief. They can't believe what just happened. And then Indiana Jones appears at their side. Nothing miraculous, he just sort of gets there. And I think of that moment, because he does. He sees them looking over the side, and he just probably pauses, and he too kind of looks over the side, like, what are we all staring at? And I see this image, you know, they're going up. Well, not they. Jesus goes up, and up, and up, and up. And they're all staring into the sky, and then these two guys appear. And they ask the question, what are you staring at? It's that moment, that pausing moment that says, okay, it happened. You can't see it anymore. It happened. Now what? And if you think about it, the ascension definitely asks that question, doesn't it? Jesus, who came among us and walked among us and lived our life and showed us so many incredible things, made many incredible teachings, made a lot of promises, and then he died. And it all seemed lost. And then 3 days later, he was back again. He had definitely died. But now he had risen again. He had conquered everything, even death, proving that he was in fact God. And for 40 days, he was with his disciples again. And then he went up, and they have to say, now what? Consider it in a perspective of the time of year that we're in. It's May. How many eighth graders, high school graduates, college graduates are now faced with that exact same question? Okay, I've done all these things. I've learned these things. I've worked hard to achieve these goals. Now what? What do we do now? Well, it's a telling moment, because that's exactly why Acts was written. If you notice, we read the end of Luke's gospel and the beginning of Acts. Remember, it's the same author. So it's end of part one and the opening of part two. And what does he open with? He says, well, in my first book, Theophilus, Theophilus is the lover of God. He wasn't writing to a guy by the name of Theophilus. He's writing to everyone who love God. He's writing to us. The whole point is so that he could write it to each and every one of us. He said, look, here's what happened in the first book. I dealt with what Jesus did and taught on the day he was taken up. Now I'm going to tell you what happens next. Now we're going to look seriously at what we have and where we're supposed to go from here. And what we have is a perfect example. That excellent example that should give us some kind of indication of how we are to proceed. It's supposed to give us some kind of idea of what we're supposed to do as we take on each and every situation. It's exactly what Paul's talking about in Hebrews. He said, look, Christ was that first high priest, and he did everything perfectly so that we could follow that example perfectly. We always have lots of examples. Some examples are less for a good example and sometimes just a horrible warning, but, you know, we all have those examples. You know, doesn't every mother always try and instruct their children to live out the virtues of their other children? My mother would always ask, you know, why can't you be, you know, more forgiving like your older brother? Why can't you, you know, pay attention to what your older brother is doing? You know, look how your older brother's sitting there doing those things. I remember these things, especially when I'm not supposed to. Like when my brother got in a fight and got kicked off the school bus, and he had to write an apology letter to the school bus driver, and he decided that he wasn't going to do it, And he and my parents kind of had a fight over this. And my brother insisted that the school bus driver really wasn't doing him any favors. And so my dad pushed him out the door and said, tell you what, walk to school, come on home, and let me know if the school bus driver does you any favors. And as he sort of stomped off into the night, came down the stairs and I looked at my parents and said, is this how I'm supposed to be more like my older brother? Not every example is perfect. You know, we have these flaws, we have these limitations, we may not always come out the way we're supposed to, but you know, truth be told, the great reality is we do have a perfect example. We have this perfect example in Christ, who led the way, literally, in every sense of the word, led the way. Like most of us, he was born. That's funny because like all of us, he was born. He led a childhood. He was a kid. He struggled with kid things, going to school, interacting with people who frustrate us. He grew into a young man. Eventually, he had to become an adult, you know, like some of us. He became an adult. Some of us grow older, not all of us grow up, right? Isn't that how the phrase goes? He became an adult. He lived our life. He walked our life. He really died. He led by example through every step of the way. And then he showed that death wasn't the end. Because at some point, we too live into this great expectation of being reunited with a glorified body and spending that body with God forever in heaven. Remember that heaven with just our souls is temporary. Each and every one of us, you know, we preach in that creed, the resurrection of the body. We're not talking about zombies rising up. We're talking about being reunited with glorified bodies, our very selves being reunited, soul to the body. And that, as a whole self, living with God. So when we look at this ascension, and we see Christ rise up, and we ask that question, now what? What we really need to do is keep our eye on that end goal, that specific terminus point, where we live forever with Christ in heaven. So that no matter what we do, no matter what jobs we get, no matter what degrees we go off to college to try and achieve, no matter what we build in our lives, that we have to keep God as that center and that focus. And I know God's a priority for you because you're sitting here on a Sunday morning. And that's exciting because we have that great reminder that no matter what else we're doing in our lives, we return to this very simple practice where we come together and be refreshed and reminded that God is the ultimate goal and that we're all shooting for heaven. I certainly hope we are. We're all shooting for heaven. So no matter what we do from now until we are reunited with our bodies after death, let's make that focus the ability to be with God. It's kind of funny if you think about it, because the focus is to return to where we started. Because that's exactly what happened in Genesis. We walked with God. Everything in the meantime is just trying to get back to that.